have another hour to go. David, go right to it.
Okay. Hopefully by now it should be fairly clear that what happened in Dallas was a coup d'etat, which Johnson and Hoover had full knowledge of, if not planned it. Okay. Now here we have a reversal that seems to contradict the three bullet theory. So I'm not much up on this one, but let's just blow it.
And he hasn't fired at me.
No, they're
all three at the president.
All three at the president, and we have them. Two of the shots fired at the president were splinted.
But this reversal says two fallen, there's three or four that hit.
Who's fallen?
Mr. Spears.
There you go, Jim.
Yeah. No, that's not surprising. There were multiple gunmen, probably three, probably triangulation of shots. If all three fired three shots, that's nine shots.
At three volleys. Enough. Yeah.
You got to think it's not shots, it's volleys, okay? And they were radio equipped, so it'd be ready, aim, fire, boom. You get one big boom, sounds like one shot, but actually is three. And that would have been nine shots. And the both of the acoustical scientists that testified to the House committee said that there were impulses on there that they could not rule out as being gunshots, and there was many as nine or ten. So there you go. And I can almost account for them, because one hit the grass on the south side of Elm Street, two hit Kennedy, two hit Connolly, one hit in front of the limousine, hit the street, and the other hit the sidewalk, and the other hit the sign. So there it all is.
Wow.
And okay, remember, folks, one quick thing. When Jim and Dick and I did the program, we looked at the photos taken from the grassy knoll looking across the street, and Jim had mentioned that the curb had been painted that very morning, two portions, maybe 3 feet long, about, what, 50 feet apart, Jim? Something like that?
No, only about 20 feet apart.
All right, there's your kill zone right there. And I looked at that picture, and they were right in that picture, boy. You can see them.
And right in between of those two yellow paint marks is exactly where the fatal headshot took place.
My gosh. All right, go ahead, David.
Okay, well, so here we have Hoover saying quite blatantly there was a lot more than three shots.
So play it again, please. Well, let's hear it one more time.
There's two fallen, there's two or three that hit.
Three or four that hit.
That's exactly right, Jim Mars. Two on Connolly, two on Kennedy. Three or four that hit. Yep.
There you go. Wow. Okay. All right, next one along.
Neither of the police officers on either side made any move to push him away or to grab him. It wasn't until after the gun was fired that they then moved.
Oh, you must be talking about Ruby there, I think. Anyway, reversal says, but they're also not going to tell.
That they're officers enough to the tale.
That they're officers enough to the tale. That they're officers enough to the tale.
So, you know, I don't know what the police had to do with that one.
Was that definitely Ruby?
They had to have some complicity within the Dallas Police Department. Okay, and again, if you read my book, Crossfire, you'll find out that at that time, to become a Dallas policeman, it was almost mandatory that you belong to the Ku Klux Klan or the John Birch Society, okay? So most of all the cops were white, and they were rednecks, basically.
Be interesting.
And so
they knew
that they could count on them to be quiet.
Jim, do we know how many of the officers who were in the basement that day met untimely deaths, if any?
No, not right off. In fact, I don't think that very many of them did, because they fell into two groups. I know this because by the mid-60s, I was covering stories in Dallas, and I talked to the cops, and they fell into one or two categories. They either would slap you on the back, give you the good old boy, and say, oh, Oswald did it. We all know that. There's nothing else to it. Or they'd just clam up and wouldn't talk about it. So I think that they had that pretty well covered. They knew that something big, heavy had happened. There was a lot of fear in Dallas. And so the police, the city government officials, they either knew what happened and kept their peace, you know, or they truly didn't know what had happened, and they were just kind of confused.
All right. Very good. Okay. David, go ahead.
All right. Next one along. Talking about the bullet that fell on the stretcher.
In trying to massage his heart at the hospital, on the way to the hospital, they apparently loosened that, and it fell onto the stretcher.
And here he says, bullet, part of the deal.
Bullet, part of the deal.
Unreal.
I love it. I love it, because that bullet was planted. There's no question about it. Okay.
Yeah,
and I even know who planted it, because I interviewed a TV cameraman who saw Jack Ruby carrying camera equipment and entering Parkland Hospital right about 1 o'clock, shortly before that magic bullet was found. And he's not the only one. A journalist, Seth Cantor, also encountered Ruby at Parkland Hospital. So Ruby slipped in the hospital
Wow.
and planted that bullet. See, it's part of the deal.
Yeah.
Wow.
And Hoover knew all about it. Okay.
Sure. Well, he's part of it.
Who's he talking to that heart massage loosened the bullet and it fell out?
LBJ. He's talking to LBJ.
What are they bullshitting each other for like that?
Well, he's given LBJ the cover story.
That must be it then.
That's exactly what he's doing. Yep. That's exactly what I figured. That's exactly the conclusion I came to. He's giving LBJ the cover story. Yeah, I listened to that conversation 3 or 4 times with that same question you had, Jeff, and that was the conclusion I came to.
Got it. Wow.
All right, next one along.
The third shot is a complete bullet. That wasn't shot at, and that rolled out of the president's head. It tore a large part of the president's head off. And in trying to massage his heart at the hospital, on the way to the hospital,
that's the same section. Reversal says, perception is a smaller threat than a garden shooter. Apply it, and I'll tell you what I think it means.
Perception is a smaller threat than a garden shooter.
Perception is a smaller threat than a garden shooter.
Can you hear that one okay?
I hear it perfectly.
Yeah. I think the garden shooter, I'm sure it refers to the grassy knoll. It's in a metaphorical context.
Got it. Perfect. That works.
Yep. And what the public perceives is a smaller threat. If they perceive that Lee Harvey Oswald did it, the perception that they're putting forwards is a smaller threat.
It's manageable. It keeps it simple. The lone nut, of course.
That's exactly right. Yep.
That's pretty plain.
Yep.
And didn't he say in that forward, though, that the bullet rolled out of Kennedy's head after tearing off a large... Please!
Yep. I know. It's
well,
awful.
Hey, this is early on. They hadn't got the story down pat yet.
I guess not.
Know?
My God. All right. Go ahead, David.
The next one along is a verse I already played you, but I'll play it again.
And while they had police signs along the curbstone... looking at the crowd, when the parade came along, the police turned around and looked at the parade.
And here he says, and I killed them all, I make you?
Mm-hmm.
Ernest killed them all, I make you.
Ernest killed them all, I make you.
Yeah, nice and clear.
Ernest killed them all, I make you.
Now, please remember, ladies and gentlemen, these are subconscious communications and statements from the principles that we're hearing. This is the truth. This is J. Edgar Hoover's subconscious speaking the truth. We're not hearing forward speech. Some of these are shockingly clear. Most all of them are. And they don't sound even like reversals, but they are. Go ahead, David.
And it's so clear because it's such a high emotional time. All right, here we have the next one on Hoover.
And he had to be subdued, of course. Alice Brother was then brought out and, of course, taken to the police headquarters.
And here he says, help the hearse see the dealing.
Help the hearse see the dealing.
Help the hearse see the dealing.
And again.
Help the hearse see the dealing.
Just help the plot, you know. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. There's deals going on, you know. It's
right.
Just
moving the scenery around. I got it.
Yep, that's exactly right. Now, this one, I don't know what this one means, but I'm sure Jim will. Here's the forwards.
The third shot, which hit the president, he was hit for the first and the third. The second shot hit the governor.
And this one says, they doubt the pistol there, it will shoot.
They doubt the pistol there, it will shoot.
They doubt the pistol there, it will shoot.
And again.
They doubt the pistol there, it will shoot.
Any clues? I know Oswald was arrested with a pistol or a revolver.
Don't say Greer.
No. But let me tell you something. In 1979, when they did the acoustical test in Dealey Plaza, and they had shooters from the sixth floor of the grassy knoll, and they had a man with a rifle firing from behind the picket fence on the grassy knoll, they also fired a pistol, test fired a pistol. And nobody could explain to me why they did that. But obviously, since they were test firing a pistol, there were at least one of those acoustical impulses must have indicated a lower caliber weapon, and they thought possibly a pistol was involved. And it might be. It might
My
have been.
Goodness, how it all fits. Every nut and every bolt. Man.
And bear in mind, I'm not an expert in the JFK assassination. You know, these are just reversals that I found.
Well, I'm going to go back to...
Why would you come up with a pistol? Nobody's ever said a pistol was involved.
No.
That's incredible. And Houston? Oh, and what Jim had to put on the table about Houston? The mob there? And LBJ making millions a year on gambling? Oh, man.
All right. Next one along.
Because he was strongly pro-Castro. He was strongly anti-American.
Okay, and simply says the mob's silly.
The mob's silly.
The mob's silly. The mob's silly.
See, I think the mob were involved. We'll get to that as we go on, but I don't know.
No,
he didn't trust them.
He didn't have a lot of respect for him, I think. Go ahead, let's keep moving. We get through this as best we can.
Yeah, okay, all right. Now, this is a really interesting one. Let's run the forwards.
That must have been more than one man, because no one man could fire those shots from the time that they were firing.
Right, now this reversal says, no one thought the man now belonged to the Knesset.
No one thought the man known as Nebuchadnezzar.
No one thought the man known as Nebuchadnezzar.
You hear that one, Jeff?
I certainly do. And this, Jim, we've long talked about David Ben-Gurion and Israeli angle to this whole conspiracy. Now we've got a word that's unmistakable, Knesset.
Yeah. So
we've got... it is known that Kennedy was trying to prevent the transfer of nuclear technology to Israel, which, needless to say, did not set well with the Israeli authorities.
Oh, no, he and Ben-Gurion fought about it verbally.
Right.
He said, we're going to inspect. Ben-Gurion said, no, you're not. Kennedy said, yes, we are. He knew there was going to be a Jewish bomb. He didn't want the Israeli state to have nuclear weapons.
Right.
So there you got a Knesset clue. Wow.
So far, we've got Hoover, we've got Johnson, we've got Nixon, we've got Bush, now we've got the Israeli government. I mean, this was a conspiracy of massive proportions. That's why it's all
concealed. That's why it's still been covered up 52 years later.
That's exactly right. This was involving the whole American government.
It
was a massive conspiracy.
Yeah.
Sorry?
If it had been a plot just of Pentagon generals or just the Cubans, anti-Castro Cubans, or just the mob, or, you know, it would have been found out by now. Okay? No, this was massive.
Yep, absolutely massive. Yep, that's exactly. Yeah, because I haven't. Oh, gee, we may have to come back for another show, I think, because I'm not going to get through them all, but we'll get through as much as we can.
All right, we can come all back. Right. I've got an hour tomorrow night. We can come back tomorrow night if we need to. So,
okay,
so maybe I can get. We'll see. All
next,
right.
Next one along.
And we also have tested the fact that you could fire those three shots were fired within 3 seconds. There's been some stories going around the papers and so forth that that must have been more than one man, but because no one man could fire.
Oh, please.
Okay, two reversals here. The first one says, defeat the gossip, the taxpayers saw you.
Defeat the gossip, the taxpayers saw you.
Defeat the gossip, the taxpayers saw you.
You know, so, you know, stop the gossip, you know, stop the stories going around. And then he says, no one sought the men.
And no one sought the men.
Oh, and no one sought the men.
And no one sought the men.
And no one sought the men.
That's the three men that Oswald were talking about. They walked away. Those three men or those three team walked. No one saw them. Okay?
Exactly.
Wow.
Yep. And here we have another smoking gun reversal on Hoover.
and that the plastic top to it was down. Well, the president had insisted upon that so that he could stand up and wave to the crowd.
And here he says, and I financed this evil.
And financed the evil.
And financed the evil. And financed the evil.
There you go.
Oh, my.
I mean, what can I say? It says it all. I mean, what can I say to that reversal? I mean, he killed them all. I finance this evil. We planted the bullet. It's just,
Jim, is there anything that you've heard that does not tie into your 52 years of research?
Not a bit. But I've got to throw something in here because I'm just afraid we're going to run out of time. And this, to me, this is just too good. This is a prognostication of the assassination that was done prior to the year 1555, okay? And I'm talking about the great prophet Nostradamus, and I'm reading from one of his quatrains, which one of the experts on Nostradamus writes, this is a very detailed prophecy, seems likely to have occurred, but I do not know if it's ever been fulfilled. But let me read this to you and see if it doesn't sound familiar.
All right.
Nostradamus says, the ancient work will be accomplished, and from the roof, evil ruin will fall on the great man. Being dead, they will accuse an innocent of the deed, the guilty one hidden in the misty wood.
Jeez.
Hello.
Oh, my God.
The ancient work, political assassination, will be accomplished and from the roof, from a high building. Ruin will fall on the great man, Kennedy. Being dead, they'll accuse an innocent of the deed, Oswald, the guilty one hidden in the misty wood. Smoke drifting off the grassy knoll.
Where did you? When did you come across that, Jim?
Years ago.
That is that's a shocker.
That's
incredible. You can find that on page 262 Erica Cheatham's Prophecies of Nostradamus.
Unbelievable.
But isn't that something? How much closer do you want to get?
It could not get any closer. It couldn't. That's astonishing.
This author, Eckhart Cheatham, she didn't recognize what that meant because in other of these quatrains, she makes the comment that might refer to the Kennedy assassination that Oswald killed him. You know, she bought the official story, so it didn't make any sense to her.
Wow. Oh, my. Oh, my. This is really emotionally...
Sorry, I didn't mean to go way off
the
track.
No, that's...
I thought that was really fascinating.
That is absolutely fascinating. Thank you for that. That's just another piece. All right, go ahead, David.
Yeah. Okay, so here we have the mayor of... that's all on Hoover. Okay, so here we have the mayor of Dallas, Mayor Cabell. Is that how you pronounce it? Okay.
Cabell.
Cabell.
Our best laid plans are not good enough without the benefit of a wisdom greater than our own. As we undertake to renew our spirit and develop greater usefulness...
This was just after the assassination, and he says, Charlie knew it. He has denial.
Charlie knew it. Yes, denial. Charlie knew it. Yes, denial.
What a phony SOB that guy is. Jim?
Oh, yes. Well, you got to understand that Dallas at that time, in fact, all of Texas, with the exception of George Herbert Walker Bush and John Tower, were all Democrats, and they were all thick as thieves, and they were all tied in with big gas and oil and big insurance, and, they all knew they were all on board.
So there we have Charlie Cabell. There we got another name. And we'll just add these names slowly to the list. These are all the killers of JFK.
And again, keep in mind that Mayor Charles Cabell, his brother, General Charles Cabell, Earl Cabell was the mayor. Charles Cabell was his brother and was fired as deputy director of the CIA, he along with Alan Dulles. And so I and many other researchers are pretty convinced that Charles Cabell and Dulles were the higher level
architects,
instigators of the assassination. But of course, above them was Hoover and Johnson.
And well, I've got a reversal that verifies exactly that. If we have time to get to it in today's show,
all right,
let's move on to Jack Ruby. Okay,
here we go.
Came to the bottom of the ramp until the police officers had me on the ground.
And here he says, "So fearful was the mayor."
So fearful was the mayor.
So fearful was the mayor.
Huh.
Yep, I don't know. So the mayor was afraid. And and
they probably, many of them, were all afraid that something would go terribly wrong.
Right. Yep. Yep.
Oh, can you imagine what would have happened if LBJ had flown back to Washington with Jackie Kennedy and Jack in the coffin and been met by a phalanx of federal marshals who said, "You're under arrest."
Oh, God, yeah. if only. I want all of you to remember to do this. After the program, do a Google search for LBJ and the Wink, W-I-N-K. I want you to look at the picture if you haven't seen it. Most of you have, perhaps. LBJ and the Wink. It's all self-explanatory. You'll see it. Go ahead, David.
All right, so here we Jack Ruby again.
So I walked towards the ramp. I noticed the police squad car on the head of the ramp.
And here he says, "Dark ghost sealed this order."
Dark ghost sealed this order.
Dark ghost sealed this order.
I don't know what he means by dark ghost, but dark forces. He was ordered.
Sure.
He was in order to go and do it, and he did exactly that.
Yep.
Dark ghost. Then he uses the word dark again in the very next reversal. Where is it? Here we go. Forwards.
No, but I recognized the police officer in the car. It was in the car.
And then he says, "Dark, then I shot you."
Dark, and I shot you.
Dark, and I shot you.
Yeah, it just speaks for itself. That's what he did. Okay? Then he uses the word dark again. I don't know why he uses the word dark all the time. He says, hang on, where is it? "I'm Dark, the soldier." Yeah. It. Where is it?
He was at this time, Jim, he was already dying of cancer, but he didn't know it, right?
Yeah. But he knew that his time was short. There was a letter smuggled out of the jail.
The jail,
and he said he named Lyndon Johnson. He said, "I'm part of a conspiracy in the assassination of the president. I was used to silence Oswald. They alone planned the killing, and I mean Johnson and others."
In where did this letter?
Never has president been elected that has the background of Johnson. Believe me, compared to him, I'm a saint.
Wow. Where did this letter go, and how long was it covered up, if at all?
It really hadn't been covered up. It just hadn't, like everything else, it hadn't been reported on.
Jesus.
Because the media is owned by these very people that didn't want Kennedy or his policy
well,
to continue.
That was,
and they have, you know, kept the kibosh on all of this for all these years.
That was his final testament, and it was the truth. And it fits with everything we've heard and everything you've researched. Wow. LBJ was a gangster, a crook, a bastard, making millions a year on mafia or other gang-related gambling activities, apparently headquartered in Houston.
Yeah, not to mention the defense contractors.
Not to mention the military-industrial complex, kickbacks. Jeez.
Hey, yeah. LBJ, how many kids did you kill today? Anybody remember
yeah.
that?
Yeah.
You're hearing the truth of the JFK assassination, folks. This is what really happened. Okay. All right, next one along.
"And I made an illegal turn behind the bus to the parking lot. Had I gone the way I was supposed to go, straight down Main Street, I would never have met this fate."
Here he says...
Never have met this what?
Fate.
Okay, that's what I thought, all right.
And it says, "I'm Dark, the soldier, now hit." Soldier being Oswald, you know. Is how I
I'm Dark, the soldier Oswald has now hit. Done.
Yep.
He did his job.
Yep, he did his job. And then we have two more on Ruby.
And you know what's really funny is to hear Hoover, remember, Jim? When he mocked Ruby as a just a low-life throwaway.
Oh, yeah.
And Ruby played such a key role in this.
That was less than 2 hours after the assassination and after Oswald had just arrived at the police station, had two sets of identification on him. One says he's Oswald, one says he's Alex James Heidel. The Dallas police are saying, okay, who are you? And he's being uncooperative. He doesn't tell them. And yet at that very moment, Hoover's on the telephone to Robert Kennedy saying, we have our man in Dallas. He's Lee Harvey Oswald. He defected to Russia. He's a mean-spirited individual in the category of a nut.
Wow.
So he had it all down.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, he did. All right, David, go ahead. This is
next one along.
It'll be proven in a few days later what the charges will be filed against me, plus the fact of the assassination. A complete conspiracy against me, right?
And here he says, they share the powerful. The powerful helped me take him out. And again.
The powerful tells me to take him out.
Tells me.
See if you hear a T there instead of help.
You're absolutely right. It is tells me. You're absolutely right. Yep, well, that fits, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
Yep.
It fits. And then the last reversal on Ruby. Oh, we still got half an hour. Good, I can still get through some more. Last reversal on Ruby. Where is it? Here we go. Here's the forwards.
Had you realized you had done anything? Well, really, it happened so fast and everything else. I can't recall what had happened from the time I...
Here he simply says, your masters were paid off. So his masters, his controllers, whatever they are, were paid off, you know. Hoover financed this evil. He paid them off. Who ever told Ruby to take him out, okay?
Right, right.
All right, now we come to a controversial character, James Files. What's your opinion on James Files, Jim?
Well, I think he deserves further investigation. He's number one, he's still alive and in prison, so he's not going anywhere. Number two, he knows certain aspects of the assassination that only somebody who was there or had access to somebody who was there could know. So I think he deserves much more serious investigation. I do know they sent the FBI in and they came out and said, oh, well, he's just a phony, and that was the end of that. But I also know other FBI who knew those FBI, and they said, no, they're not telling the truth.
All right. Well, here we've got Files. I'll answer your questions for you, okay? So here's the forwards.
I walked around the railroad yard, and I was waiting for the time to pass. Time was coming on. And when I heard the roar of the crowd, I went over by the fence, and I got there a little bit, a few minutes early.
And, for those who don't know who James Files is, perhaps I should mention, he claimed he was a mafia hitman, is that correct? He was one of the gunmen.
Right. Yeah, he said he was the gunman on the grassy knoll.
Right. So you marked the map, is the reversal?
You marked the map.
And in his interview, he talked about a map where the route had been changed or something.
Yeah, he said you mark up the mat.
Up the map. Okay.
See.
Marked the map. Yeah. So he talks about that forwards in his story, so it's a congruent reversal.
You marked up the mat, right? Up the mat. Okay, the map. Yeah, okay. Very good.
All right, next one along.
My last... instructions was, we're going for a headshot. If you have to take a shot, take it. But don't fire unless it's a necessity, unless you really have to.
And this reversal said, I should get with David. Now, he talks about a man, David Phillips, who was his controller, whatever a controller is. What can you fill us in on that one, Jim?
Right. That was David Atlee Phillips, who was... by the way, he was CIA. He was the controller, the handler for James Files. He was also seen, according to Vinciana, seen in the company of Lee Oswald. Right. In fact, Files said that when he arrived in Dallas, he met with Lee Harvey Oswald, and he made one telephone call, and that was back to his boss, Charles Nicoletti, the premier hitman for the Chicago mob, and he said, told him he had arrived in Dallas.
Right.
And the next thing he knew, Phillips was contacting him, and he said, how could he have known where he was if Oswald hadn't told him?
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, so I should get with David. All right, now we'll look at the two coup de gras. Here's the Fords.
Motorcade, the best of my recollection to me and my mind, and everything is slowed down at this point. When they hit, when the first shot went off, it's like it stopped. It's just like it slowed down almost to crawl or barely moving, or maybe it even stopped. I'm not really sure on that point.
And here he says, I know I shoot.
Oh, no, I sure.
Arnold, I shoot.
You hear that?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Congruent reversal.
Yes, it
so
is.
Yeah. Congruent reverse. He's telling a true story. And then he says this one here. Here's the Fords.
Did you ever notice if any of those rounds hit that sign?
No. I don't know if anybody else has did or not. As far as I know, their rounds never hit it. I know my round didn't hit it. Like I say, I fired one shot. I was on target.
And here he says, hit him with my round.
It ended my round.
True story.
Which was this a headshot round?
This was a headshot round, yes. This was a headshot. This was
Jim, your thoughts on that?
Yeah. Well, it says what it says.
Yeah. Yeah, I believe he was a gunman behind the grassy knoll.
Well, that's the angle that the shot would have had to come from to hit the right side of his head.
It all fits perfectly from his standpoint, from where he shows his position on the grassy knoll. He would be coming from, if you're Kennedy facing forward and you go by the clock, then it would be coming from his right at about a 1 to 2 o'clock position.
Correct.
And he was already kind of with his arms up. I think because he got hit in the back and his arms kind of jerked up spasmodically, and he was sagging to his left. So the shot came and hit him right in the right temple near at the hairline.
Right,
and then
exactly.
Passed through, yeah. And came out the right rear portion of his head.
Yep.
By the way, David, have you had a chance to do the reverse of Ruby where he talks about people in high places?
Yes, I think I played one of that one. It was a very poor recording. I found it really hard to get that reversals on that one.
Jim, real quick.
Yeah.
James Files may be dead by tomorrow morning.
You think so?
I don't know, but I mean, this is, he sounds very...
His story's been kicking all around for a long time. And,
yeah.
And, you know, there's plenty of trolls who'll say, oh, there's nothing to that, he's just lying. And
well, he
know,
could be, but have you ever talked to him?
Yeah, I sat down across the table from him and interviewed him for about 2 hours. I got to tell you, is very strange because I knew all about his story, and I like to pride myself on being a good reporter, and I always thought, boy, if I could just sit down and watch him, look him in the eye, watch his body language, you know, I think I could tell if he's telling the truth or not.
Yeah.
But I got to tell you, Jeff, after a complete interview with this guy and watching everything he said and did, I am still a little bit straddling the fence. I'm pretty sure he knows a lot. He may have even actually been there. I'm just not positive in my own mind that he actually pulled the trigger, but he may have.
What was he sent to prison for, do you remember?
Oh, he's in prison now for shooting a cop, although that's a whole different deal too.
Uh-huh.
He and another thug, let's face it, they're thugs, got cut off by a car.
Uh-huh.
Unmarked car with two guys in civilian dress who jumped out and began shooting at him. Okay? And his friend returned fire and hit both cops. Files told me that he managed to get hold of an AK-47, but it jammed. It wouldn't fire, so he never fired around. And yet, it turned out the two guys that jumped him and tried to kill him were off-duty cops. He thinks that it was a hit. They were trying to kill
uh-huh.
him.
Uh-huh. Oh, there
way.
You go. Yeah, yeah.
But it messed up, okay? But still, they put him
Okay, your phone's breaking up a little bit. I don't know why. Hopefully it'll settle down.
Probably my voice breaking up.
No, it's the phone. AK-47s don't jam very often. That's a weird one. Okay.
Yeah, that's kind of weird.
Yeah.
Let me just play that last reversal again, because I think he's telling a true story.
Okay? All right.
It's the forwards.
Do you ever notice if any of those rounds hit that sign?
No. I don't know if anybody else has did or not. As far as I know, their round never hit it. I know my round didn't hit it. Like I say, I fired one shot. I was on target.
And hit him with my round.
And did my round.
See, that's clear as day.
My round.
By the way, Jeff, the interviewer, that was me.
Oh, that was you, was it? Oh, right.
I'll be damned. That's your interview with him. How about that? Well, now you know what he was saying from his subconscious mind, and hit him with my round.
Well, there you go.
So there's maybe the kill shot right there.
And then the last reversal on files I've got.
I disposed of the little map, the last minute change. That was irrelevant. I burned all that stuff. I've got rid of all that. The only thing I kept was the ledger.
And here he says, you tell a plan.
You tell a plan.
You tell a plan. You tell a plan.
Listen to how assertive he is with that statement.
Yep.
Wow. Very interesting. That's you, Jim. Wow.
Yep.
That's 52 years. You got around. Amazing.
Well, I've tracked down every lead possible, and it all comes back to the same thing. And here you and Dick and David, you got it.
No, you got it. This is sewing everything you put on the table together into one great big present of truth and reality. Dick Allgaier, thanks for being so quiet back there and listening. We got trying to get as much as we can get done here.
It's fascinating. I'm enjoying this. I'm just enjoying listening.
All right. Dick Allgaier is with us, in case you joined us late. Our remote viewing friend who did so much with Daz Smith, and we've done programs. You look in the right column at rents.com and look for the JFK box. You'll see it, and you can hear the program with Dick and with Daz and with Jim both times. And so go ahead, David, and we'll get as much done as we can.
We're moving on to Earl Warren now.
This is
the eulogy he gave for JFK on the 24th of November.
So okay. That's 2 days later, folks.
Yep, 2 days later.
There is nothing that adds shock to our sadness more than the assassination of our leader.
And here he says, the dear love.
Dear love.
So he was shocked by the assassination, okay? However, what I'm saying is his prostrations are real.
Mm-hmm.
However, he knows that more happened. So here, there's two reversals that show this.
John Fitzgerald Kennedy, a great and good president.
And here he says, here they let boys snuff him out.
Here they let boys snuff him out. Here they let boys snuff him out.
Wow. He was not involved, but he knew. He knew.
Not involved, but he knew. Yep, exactly right. And here we have another genuine reversal.
A safe course for us.
And here he simply says, sorrow, choke this.
Sorrow, choke, yes.
Yeah, he's definitely emotional about this.
But listen to this reversal.
Surely there is a lesson to be learned from this tragic event.
And here he says, Hoover, your dark sin.
Ever is dark sin.
Was he saying, let me hear that again, please.
I've got that as Hoover, your dark sin.
I may have heard J. Edgar, I'm not sure, but I think Hoover, yes, is there. I just want to hear it one more time.
Yep, sure.
It almost sounds like he's saying Herbert. Listen, do you not hear an H and a T? Herbert? Like George Herbert Walker Bush, maybe?
Okay.
I don't know.
Actually, I can hear Herbert now that you say it. No, there's a V.
is there.
All right. You're hearing it there. I'm hearing it here. Very good.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. So he's upset, but he knew. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, all right. Now we've got Alan Dulles. Okay. One couple of verses on, one to start off with. Here we go.
If you had 10 more commissions, you'd never get away from the idea that maybe there was a plot. We just didn't find any traces of it.
And here he says, tough was Israeli damn with their day. Tough was Israeli damn with their day.
Tough was Israeli damn with their day. Tough was Israeli damn with their day.
Second reference to Israel.
Yeah, it's there.
Second reference to Israel. Israel was going to be damned or damaged by JFK's presidency. Okay.
Well, also, let me point out that he says that he mimics the same line as Gerald Ford and others, Arlen Specter, on the Warren Commission. They never said there was no conspiracy. What they've always said was, we could find no evidence of a conspiracy. And technically, that's probably true, but the reason for that is they never looked for one.
Got it. They created their own plausible deniability so they wouldn't be technically lying.
Right.
Listen to these two. This is on John Sherman Cooper, a Democrat on the commission, I believe. So here's the forwards.
We can assure you that every bit of the testimony will be made available to the press, the public.
And here he says, the damn evil will be enormous.
The damn evil will be enormous.
The damn evil will be enormous. The damn evil will be enormous.
In other words, this is a huge plot. This is massive. As we look into this, it's massive. It's going to be devastating.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now listen to this. Here we have Cooper forwards, and he's asked if he believes the lone assassin theory. He says forwards, I don't believe that, and then Dulles comes in and cuts him off straight away. Listen to this.
Do you? Can you say if you still think it was one man?
I don't believe that.
I think we better not get into that.
To hear him say, here it is.
I don't believe that.
I don't believe that. Hear that?
Yeah.
I don't believe that.
I think we better not get into that.
And then Dulles comes straight in and cuts him off immediately.
Dulles kicked his butt, Jim, right there. He said, wait a minute. We're not going there.
Yep.
That's right.
Shut up, boy. Shut up.
That's right. Yeah, it came up about Oswald being an informant for the FBI. And so they asked, the Warren Commission asked Alan Dulles, they said, well, you were head of the CIA. He said, if we go to Hoover and ask him if Oswald, you know, was a informant for the FBI, would he tell us the truth? And Dulles says, no. And they went, well, then I guess there's no use in doing that. And they didn't.
Jeez. Wow. All
right.
Hey, when you're at the top of the pecking order, and you just do whatever you want to and get away with it.
Above all laws, answerable to no one.
Yep.
All right, here we have Senator Richard Russell. And, I'll play you two reversals on him. I'll bring up the first one first, because he's telling LBJ that he doesn't believe that the same bullet hit Connolly.
Well, they were trying to prove it. Same bullet that hit Kennedy first was the one that hit Connolly.
And here he says, you're a liar.
You're a liar.
You're a liar. You're a liar.
So he's telling LBJ you're a liar.
That's what he's doing.
That's funny. Wow.
They knew it. That single bullet theory is the most cockamamie thing anybody ever came up with.
I couldn't agree more.
Yep. Okay, here's the next one.
According to that theory, he not only missed the whole automobile, but he missed the street. Well, the man's a good enough shot to put two bullets right into Kennedy. He didn't miss that whole automobile.
And here he says, we won't know all the sin.
We won't know all the sin.
We won't know all the sin. We won't know all the sin.
Well, the conspiracy was too massive. You're right.
Absolutely. Massive conspiracy. And he... and. Yeah, massive conspiracy. I don't know what to tell you. I was just so shocked about all of this. Look, we've got quick time to go on to Eisenhower. I want to play you a reversal I found on George Bush.
All right.
That be looking at Eisenhower.
Okay.
Now, this is from Gerald Ford's funeral. So here we go.
Even the dark clouds of political crisis gathered over America. After a deluded gunman assassinated President Kennedy.
Now, the reversal says the crime avoided Ike.
The crime avoided Ike.
The crime avoided Ike.
Okay, what that means one of two things. Ike could have been taken out in a coup d'etat and killed, or Ike was involved and he skated.
Ike was involved and he skated. That's how I interpret it. He was involved and he was never implicated, never talked about as being involved.
Wait. What was the reverse speech line again?
The crime avoided Ike.
The crime avoided Ike. What I get out of that is because, you know, keep in mind it was Eisenhower who in his farewell address warned us of the military-industrial complex.
Right.
So I think that they were able to bring the CIA and the Pentagon and get all this high-level conspiracy going without tipping off Eisenhower, without his support.
Maybe that's it. You might have
it. I get out of it is that, well, the plan went off without Eisenhower.
Yeah. Could be he was kept out of it. And
I might be misinterpreting the reversals.
He's spotless. In either way, that's another clear one. All right, go ahead, David. We got room for about 3-4 more, I think.
Okay, all right. So we'll do a couple on Eisenhower. He's talking about Jackie Kennedy.
Mrs. Eisenhower and I share the grief that Mrs. Kennedy must now feel, and we send to her our prayerful thoughts.
And here he says he had to miss.
Yes, miss.
What the hell does that mean?
Well, you see, if you listen to the interview with James Files, he was told that they had to not hit Jackie.
Oh, he's talking about Jackie in the car.
He's talking about Jackie in the car forwards.
Oh.
See, and Jim, that's why I think he was involved.
He had to be. He had to know. Yes, because that statement he just made, what, a day or two after the murder?
The same day.
He knew.
The same day.
And again, he said he had to miss.
He had to miss.
Okay, he knew.
You know, that's why I interpret it.
Yeah.
If they had shot Jackie...
That's true. Fowle said that they were under orders to make sure they did not hit Jackie Kennedy.
If they'd blown her head off, my God.
See?
Double everything. That makes perfect sense, David.
Let me get through these as fast as I can on Eisenhower.
We did not know the president was dead. We did not know when I got back here at that time that he was dead.
And here he says, there's a reason now.
There's a reason now.
There's a reason why he's dead. There was a reason for the coup, is how I interpret that. And then he says this reversal.
But, matter of fact, we had the last message we had was one rather of hope.
And here he says, we sent terrible headache.
We sent terrible headache.
See, that tells me he's involved.
He's involved.
I think so. And, of course, keep in mind, despite his squeaky clean public image, there's a lot of dirt going on about Eisenhower.
No, don't forget, to add to what Jim is saying, Dwight David Eisenhower is a genocidal maniac who has the blood of between 1 and 2 million innocent Germans on his personal hands, liquidated after the end of World War II, left to die in the fields in the mud. Yeah. And that's irrefutable.
See, I think that's why Bush said the crime avoided Ike, because he has never been implicated in this.
They wanted to keep the country better together, Jim Mars, by keeping Eisenhower pristine and crystal clear. That's what they wanted to do, I think.
Yeah, that's true.
All right, next one.
Will the nation be all right in the few months ahead?
Oh, I'm not going to predict anything of that. I just say this. The American nation is a people of great common sense.
And here he says, I bring it in a kid.
I bring it in a kid.
I bring it in a kid. I bring it in a kid.
I think he's talking about Lee Harvey Oswald. He's only 24 years old.
Maybe.
See, this is the day it happened, okay?
He's too calm and collected in a very weird way in his voice. Yeah. He doesn't sound shook.
Nope. And, we're running out of time. Todd,
turn the music down, please. We're going to go ahead one more, David.
One last reversal. He's talking to LBJ.
Yeah. Now, to come back all the way just after we'd gotten out there and we had to get our children out for the holidays.
And here he says, I made you. That's the deal. In other words, he put Johnson in power. I've made you. I've put you where you are. That's the deal that we set up.
Oh, that's pretty damn incriminating right there.
Yeah. Pretty clear.
Yep.
Oh, okay. My. All right. Well, this is an historic revelation. A quick comment from Dick Allgaier.
Really quickly, remote viewers always like feedback and validation for their work. When I did my work, it was blind, and when I found the target was, I had drawn a jowly man who looked to be an evil old bastard. And when Courtney Brown told me the target cue, that particular target was the planners of JFK, and you drew J. Edgar Hoover, I thought, oh, no, I'm going to look like a fool. Hoover didn't plan this, but now it turns out that maybe he did. So it was very interesting for me to hear all this, validate my work.
He killed them all. Here's what we can do. David, how many more reversals do you have about that are relevant?
Oh, well, probably a few. I can do it in an hour if you want to.
All right. Well, let's do this. Let me see here. Hold on real quick.
You want me to ring you after the show?
Yeah, maybe a week from tonight, maybe next Tuesday.
Okay, I'll ring you after the show.
All right,
okay?
Very good. Right. Hold on, David. Jim, a comment from you, final for tonight.
Well, you know, like I said, this has been great for me because it's basically validated everything I put in my book, Crossfire, and all the conclusions I've come to. And also keep in mind that I taught a course at the University of Texas at Arlington beginning in 1976 and lasting till I finally retired after 30 years in 2007. And that was the conclusion that we came to at that class all through those years. And now, you know, finally a public audience is getting to hear this same information.
I think what we should do is maybe put this on a disc of some kind and start including it with the book Crossfire. Stick it inside the back cover. Talk to your publisher. I'll give you the rights to it.
Okay.
That'd be great. You're involved imminently and eminently in every way you can think with this work. It's your work, and now it's pulled together. This is with a Dick Allgaier. And David, thank you very much. Well, I don't know how to thank you. How do you thank someone for doing this, which ties so much together? It's remarkable.
It's been my pleasure. I've enjoyed it. It's been a very interesting few weeks doing all these tapes.
Wow, just stunning. Congratulations, David.
Thank you, sir.
All right.
Okay.
Good night. And Jim, I'll talk to you soon. James, real soon, I want to compare notes on this. I'm just emotionally wrung out. This has been really, wow, amazing.
Well,
right.
It's pretty hard for people who've been brought up believing one thing and having to change your opinion.
Yeah, well, okay, my friend. I'll talk to you soon.
Okay.
All righty.
Good night.
Good night. And to all of you out there, thanks for being here. A hell of a 3 hours. We will talk soon. Good night.